Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
A good day for unions. Scabby the Rat wins a case at the National Labor Relations Board. Guess who's trying to block negotiations on an infrastructure deal? And today on the show, the latest from the Heat and Frost Insulators and the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. Welcome to the Wednesday, July 28th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. Pete Almeny, on behalf of the Heat and Frost Insulators, LMCT, that stands for Labor Management Cooperative Trust, Mechanical Insulators, LMCT.com is their website. It's going to be our first guest, and Pete reports he was shocked to hear on the nightly news in New York a report about a new program called Helmets to Hard Hats. This program has been around a long time, 15 years at least. So Pete said, you know what? We have to talk about it. We have to get the message out there and especially tell the media we have a wonderful program here. Again, this is a program designed to get those who are in the military, coming out of the military, to get involved in the building trades. And you think about what you learn, the skills you learn in the military. What a great transition. So we're going to talk about the benefits. We'll talk about what trades are involved in helmets to hard hats. Do apprenticeship committees favor certain candidates? What should a veteran do to get involved? Where do you register? There's a lot of these things that need to be covered and continue to be covered, obviously, because a lot of people are not aware of it. Those that should be aware of it in the media are not aware of it. So Pete's going to be our first guest on the show. And Mike Dolan will be joining us on behalf of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. Also, he is on the board of the Coalition for a Prosperous America, prosperousamerica.org. We've had Mike and the Coalition on the show many, many times. Did you know that this week is Made in America Week? That's another issue that's not getting much media play. During Made in America Week, and this is right from the White House, during this week, we recognize that just as American manufacturing was the arsenal of democracy in World War II, American products and services must be part of the engine of American prosperity today. We also reject the defeatist view that the forces of automation and globalization mean we cannot have good paying union jobs right here in America. This is Joe Biden talking. He said, and this is an executive order, my administration is making Buy American a policy, not just a promise. We are closing loopholes and strengthening standards to ensure that the future is made in all of America by all of America's workers in every region, in every background, in services, manufacturing, and agriculture. When we buy American, we will buy from all of America. We will include communities that have historically been left out of government procurement. Black, brown, Native American, small businesses, and entrepreneurs in every region of the country. We will use a federally funded national network called the Manufacturing Extension Partnership to help government agencies connect with new domestic suppliers across the country. And the president goes on to say the COVID-19 pandemic demonstrated our need for greater manufacturing capacity in areas critical to public health, information, communications technology, and national defense. National defense, that's a big one. I remember having many conversations over the years about the fact that we would have to go to China. What if we got into a conflict with an adversary? Do we have to go to China to get military supplies or Russia to get a tank? Come on now. So Mike's going to get into that. I'm sure he'll get into trade as well, because there's still a lot of dumping going on with China. And they're so clever at it, too. So Mike Dolan will be our second guest. On behalf of the Teamsters, last week was the reach out with all labor unions to make sure that our members of the Senate primarily had passed in the House, but we still have some senators on the fence, to pass the PRO Act. That's the Protect the Right to Organize. And the Teamsters did a really good job. So many labor unions did a great job. But I just want to read from you what the Teamsters did. Teamsters from coast to coast turned out in force last week with their fellow union brothers and sisters to urge the Senate to pass the Protect the Right to Organize Act. Whether it was through rallies or other events, the Teamsters were on the ground getting the word out that more has to be done to help workers. Local 773, Allentown, PA, hosted a Pennsylvania AFL-CIO event. This was last Wednesday at its union hall, where 40 Teamsters and other union members, as well as a handful of local and state elected officials, were briefed on the importance of the legislation. Brian Taylor, local 773 business agent and organizer, said the meeting played an important role for outreach efforts, saying it will serve as a springboard to mobilize rank and file members. People didn't understand previous to this, but afterwards, they understand the value of the PRO Act. So, obviously, it worked. Teamsters got involved in events promoting the PRO Act all around the country, including members from Joint Council 28, Seattle, Washington, Local 2, Helena, Montana, Local 71, Asheville, North Carolina, 79 in Tampa, Florida, Local 104 in Tucson, Arizona, Locals 107, 169, 502, and 929 in Linwood, Pennsylvania. Wow. They did some organizing there, huh? 171, Local 171 in Roanoke, Virginia. 200, Local 200 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 322 in Richmond and Vienna, Virginia. 519 in Nashville, Tennessee. 745 in Dallas, Texas. And 822, Local 822 in Norfolk, Virginia. I also have to say that the Teamsters were not shy when it came to challenging lawmakers who aren't being explicit in their support of the PRO Act. Don Schumann, political coordinator at Local 104, called on home state Senator Kyrsten Sinema to take a stand with workers after the union came out strong in support of both them during their most recent elections. We're talking Arizona here. Listen to this quote. Senator Sinema, if you're listening, please call me. I would like to have a conversation with you and ask a few questions about what the hangup is. Call him out. That's what you got to do. The week of action coincided with a Senate Health, Education, and Labor Committee hearing. This was held last Thursday, where Democrats on the committee spoke in favor of passing the PRO Act. I want to take you to Portland, Maine right now, where Mary Kate O'Sullivan is a registered nurse at the Maine Medical Center there. She and her coworkers fought for the right to organize with National Nurses United for 8 months, during which time management bullied and harassed them. Hospital management even hired a union-busting firm and forced the nurses to take part in mandatory anti-union meetings. And guess what? If we had PRO, none of that would have happened. I want to take you to Maine right now and listen to this clip from Mary Kate O'Sullivan.
As soon as Maine Health hired the Reliant Consulting firm, which is, in their words, a union avoidant consulting firm, I knew that I needed to get involved. As an American, I have the legal rights, my Section 7 rights, to organize and form a union. And throughout the organizing process, it did not feel like what I was trying to do was legal. At work, we were told that we had to attend mandatory meetings. And what those turned out to be was captive audience meetings. It was very insidious, the way that it was presented to us. And I think that with the PRO Act, first of all, the PRO Act would make captive audience meetings illegal. It would ban them. So my hospital would not have legally been able to do that, to force workers into mandatory meetings to try and convince them not to form a union. That would be illegal. That's what we need. We need legal protection when we try and organize. For me to be good in terms of my own moral conviction, I have to fight for a union. I have to fight for the right to organize because it's the right thing to do for nurses and for patients. And I won't be intimidated out of it.
Hats off to Mary Kate O'Sullivan, again, a registered nurse at the Maine Medical Center in Portland, Maine. 8 months, they finally organized a union in conjunction with National Nurses United. Now, let's talk about Scabby the Rat in a long-awaited decision. The National Labor Relations Board ruled 3-1 in Lippert Components 371 NLRB number 8. That's the number of the case. The union's use of Scabby the Rat at protest events does not constitute unlawful coercive speech under the National Labor Relations Act. Scabby is ugly. Oh my God. A hideous inflatable rat. It's a rat balloon, ranging anywhere between 12 and 25 feet tall. That's a big rat. Has been deployed at union protest rallies for years and was the subject of a long-standing legal vendetta by the former counsel of the NLRB, Peter Robb, who sought to ban its use. Well, those efforts came to an end last week with a bipartisan majority dismissing the case. Concurring in the opinion, Chair Lauren McFerrin asserted that board precedent demanded the outcome, arguing the two cases, one involving the Carpenters, Local 1506, and the sheet metal workers, and that was Local 15, were controlling. Two Republican board members, John Ring and Marvin Kaplan, wrote separately that Scabby's allowance at protests was necessary in order to avoid possible conflict with the First Amendment, echoing ideas asserted in an amicus brief by the American Civil Liberties Union. How about that? So it's free speech. The decision is also notable because under the Taft-Hartley Act, unions are ordinarily banned from engaging in so-called secondary boycotts directed at employers only indirectly connected to the labor dispute, the actual labor dispute. The fact that two Republican board members cited the First Amendment in limiting the extent of the secondary boycott ban could carry legal implications extending far beyond Scabby. This is a good one. I can't wait to talk to Joyce Goldstein about this because she monitors what comes out of the National Labor Relations Board. And this has been going back and forth for years. And the latest now, Scabby wins at the National Labor Relations Board. All right, we have to break. Pete Almini on behalf of the Heat and Frost Insulators coming up next.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Iron Workers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 iron workers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union iron workers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our iron workers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with prostate, breast, or any other cancer after taking Zantac? You may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And of course, you can check us out on Facebook, AWF Union Podcast, and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars, also a sponsor of this show. We're talking about the Heat and Frost Insulators, LMCT. Website is mechanicalinsulatorslmct.com. And the man behind it all is Mr. Pete Almini out of New Jersey. How's my Jersey guy doing today?
Hey, how you doing today?
How you doing, brother? Hey, did you hear about Scabby the Rat? I was just talking about the National Labor Relations Board last week, the ruling 3-1. I guess Scabby, there's no problem with Scabby. They tried to shut Scabby down, the Republicans on the board, but now with Biden in charge and getting the right people on the NLRB, Scabby has continued life. But you have an interesting story you wanted to share with us. Go ahead, Pete.
Yes, in our in my local many years ago, when we used to put up a picket line or a demonstration, we too also used the inflatable rat, and that indicates a non-union contractor or a non-union element is doing the work, and it gained a lot of attention, and it also raised a lot of tensions as well, and many times we were able to. I say many times, a few times, we were able to resolve the labor dispute, but the customer had a bad taste in his mouth or her mouth. You know, you want to be able to work in an harmonious atmosphere. But 3 weeks ago, you had inflatable rat on our front lawn or the front of the building. Right. And it took some time to overcome that stigmatism. And at the time, our business manager, George Sorovich, really had a brilliant idea. And instead of using a rat, we purchased a 21-foot inflatable Uncle Sam. And when we did have a labor dispute with non-union, we instead of using a rat, we inflated Uncle Sam. And what an attention getter. And it wasn't as inflammatory and you know, as nasty as a rat can be. Now, don't get me wrong, the rat can be very successful. But we found in our local that the Uncle Sam worked just as good, in many cases, a lot better. We had people asking questions about what is the demonstration about, and it wasn't as intimidating disease-infested rodent on someone's front property. Mm-hmm. And even a customer came out, and you know, we were able to resolve the issue, or at least explain it, and we talked more about the issue than we did about the inflatable rat. So Uncle Sam, I think, is with our locals, is still used today.
Hey, whatever works, you know. Obviously, there's certain parts of the country where you want to use Uncle Sam, and there's other parts where Scabby comes to play. So it's up to the
local. Scabby has a role. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and extended life, too.
That is good news from the NLRB that allows the freedom of speech to be able to properly and peacefully demonstrate our labor disputes to the public.
There you go. That's what it's all about. All right, Pete, you were listening. This is an interesting story. You were listening to the news, I guess, recently. And
yep.
What did they do? They said, hey, we got this new program called Helmets to Hard Hats. And that kind of like took you back, wondering, wait a minute. This has been around a long time. Talk to me about what happened here.
Sure. As you know, I am in New Jersey. and parts of New Jersey that we feed off the news items from New York City, or Southern Jersey feeds off Philadelphia. I'm right in the middle. I'm in Central Jersey, but I was listening to the New York news, and throughout the news broadcast, they kept on having the teaser just before the commercials, and they were talking about a new program called Helmets to Hard Hats. And I heard Helmets to Hard Hats, and of course, it raised my eyebrows and got my attention, but I was a little perplexed when they said new. I said, all right, well, maybe there's a new wrinkle to it. And when they finally got to the story, they did the news broadcast did a great job explaining it and telling about the program and how it links our servicemen and women to our apprenticeship programs. And they had an apprentice coordinator speak about it. But I was perplexed when they were talking about it as if it was new. And how much the hard hats has been around since 2003. And when I was the apprentice coordinator, I spent a lot of time and dedicated a lot of time trying to advance that program and trying to be able to pull veterans into our apprenticeship programs through this absolutely fantastic program called Helmets to Hard Hats. But after I saw the news article and saw it on TV, I said, you know what? I guess we're not talking about it enough. And there's a second and third generation that are exposed to this, and they think it's something that's new. And I'm very grateful that it made the nightly news. I mean, I think that's they knocked it out of the park with it. But if people think this is new, then we got to talk about it some more, because it's a wonderful program for our servicemen and women of this great country.
Absolutely wonderful program. Well, that being said, I'd like to get your point of view, and I'd like you to explain to our listeners. I'm sure we get new listeners every day with our podcast. We've got on 5 platforms now. More and more people are listening to the show. They, too, are probably not aware of Helmets to Hard Hats. So, Pete, it's all yours.
Well, great. And thank you, Flash, for giving us the opportunity to discuss it. The Helmets to Hard Hats program is a program that's been adopted by the National Building Trades. So it incorporates all of our trades. And the intent of it is when our service people come home and their active duty is finished, they want to become infiltrated into our communities and be able to have a job. And it's very difficult usually in your early 20s, start looking for a job. Some people have been able to go to college. Some people are able to start their careers. And these men and women are coming home and they're 22, 23, 24 years old, and they're looking to start a career. And this program gives a little bit of a heads up to help these people be able to find a job. And jobs, obviously, we can help with in the apprenticeship program is be able to make our service people aware of these programs and be able to give them an explanation of what are the apprenticeship programs, an explanation of it, be able to tailor someone's interest amongst all of our different trades of the building trades that are available. And also a lot of apprenticeship programs have special recruitment conditions for someone that is in Helmets to Hard Hats. Our apprenticeship programs through the Department of Labor have to make sure that anyone has an opportunity to enter the apprenticeship program. It has to be fair and equitable. So our apprenticeship programs are monitored heavily by the Department of Labor to make sure that everyone does have a fair shot. But there are some conditions that allow, even in some cases, direct entry into an apprenticeship program and also the union if they served in the military and if they qualify under the Helmets to Hard Hats program, which is absolutely fantastic. Many of our people that come out of the military have spent 4 or 5 years with intense training and some very valuable skills that sometimes they're not directly related to the commerce of civilized life. But mm-hmm. what the military has been able to do is to instill some soft skills in these people that do translate into the commercial and professional world, such as work ethic. Be able to get up in the morning and be able to report to the job site. You know, service people are used to getting up on time, and they have to be ready for the duties at a given moment. But they're usually disciplined. They know what it is to complete a task. They've been taught the ability to learn and adapt. And those are the type of people that we are looking for in the apprenticeship programs.
Right.
The apprenticeship programs can teach and will teach the hard skills of a particular craft. For example, knowing how to weld, knowing how to cut wood, how to read blueprints, how to wire a panel box, how to pull wire, how to insulate, what's the proper material that has to be used for proper insulation. Those are the hard skills. And our apprenticeship programs, all the trades, do a fantastic job of being able to train those hard skills. It's difficult to find people that have good work ethic and have the soft skills needed to take advantage of all of that. And we have found that being able to tap into former military personnel is a win-win situation for both the person and both our union apprenticeship programs.
Very good. Love to hear that story. And it's a story that has to be repeated again and again and again, because a lot of people are not aware of it, a program that's been around since 2003. I want to drive people to the website while they got an opportunity here. It's helmets2hardhats.org. Helmets2hardhats.org. There's a lot posted there. Gives you all the information of the careers, the trades involved, history of the organization, and good stories, too. And I'm sure, Pete, I'm sure that you have some good stories to share as well. We'll do that in the next segment. Also, later in the show, I want to promote Mike Dolan will be joining us on behalf of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. He's also on the board of the Coalition for a Prosperous America, and this is Buy America Week. He'll talk about that and more back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on 5 different platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. When you get an opportunity, just take a minute or so, and you can get our shows on a regular basis and eventually give us a rating. We'd appreciate a 5-star rating. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the North Coast Area Labor Federation, all connected to the AFL-CIO. Let's go back to our live line. Rejoin Pete Almini. He's one of our regulars, always the last Wednesday of each and every month. That one goes to the Heat and Frost Insulators, LMCT, Mechanical Insulators, LMCT.com. In case you're just joining us right now, we're talking about helmets to hard hats, and Pete was listening to the media in New York, New Jersey a couple weeks ago, and they came out talking about this new program, Helmets to Hard Hats, which has been around since 2003. So with that being said, we're talking more about Helmets to Hard Hats. Obviously, a lot of people are unaware of this. And we want to connect our veterans, our heroes, with good jobs. It makes a lot of sense. The vets have a lot of issues when they come back from service. Get them connected to the trades. I mean, good jobs, great pay, benefits. I could go on and on and on. Pete, I want to talk about the Heat and Frost Insulators. I'm sure you've got some stories to share, one or two anyway, with our listeners about somebody that came from the military and got involved in the Heat and Frost Insulators. What do you have for us?
Sure. Well, I always had stories. There's always a lot of stories to tell, but there are a couple that I just always remember. We had a young gentleman that applied for our apprenticeship program, and we've gone through thousands of interviews, and of course we're trying to select the best and the brightest people that we can to be able to come into our local and our apprenticeship program. This particular gentleman, and after doing many interviews, kind of caught me off guard. But he was talking about his past, and he went to school, and he graduated, and he tried college, and then he went into the military, and then he talked about the wonderful experience that he had. It was difficult and tough, but he said it changed his life. And then he talked about he had difficulty finding employment when he got back home again, and he was working in some jobs that were minimal pay. Just to be able to pay the bills, and he was looking to start a family and, you know, looking toward the future. And someone told him about our program, the apprenticeship program with the insulators, and he came down and he applied, and I had him talk more about what he did in the military. And he worked in the Navy. I believe it was the Navy. It could be the Air Force, because he was the mechanic crew chief of the fighter jets. And he started to explain to us and how he managed fighter jets. And he was in charge of this squadron, and he was in charge of maintaining these $15 million aircraft each. He was in charge of maintaining them. He had a crew of 15 people. He managed the crew. He managed ordering the material, the parts that were needed. He was heavily involved in diagnosing issues when the fighter jet had a problem, electronically and mechanically. And the U.S. government invested a lot in this gentleman and the training that he needed to develop these skills to be able to maintain, and I repeat, at the time, it was a $15 million aircraft. And he was in charge of the entire squadron on the maintenance side of it. And what a skill set and what education this gentleman had. And my first inclination was, well, you know, in the private sector, where are the jobs for someone with these skills? He said, well, they are available through the airline industry, but at the time, he says, I'm on a waiting list. I've been on a waiting list with the commercial airlines for about 2 years, and it really hasn't moved. Hmm. And, well, it perked up the interest, obviously, of our trustees, and we brought this gentleman in into our apprenticeship program, and it really enlightened the entire union and our apprenticeship program of a skill set that veterans possess, and it doesn't always equate to or plug into a job, but as far as being dependable, being on time, this particular gentleman was spot on. He was never late. Never missed a day, respectful, was able to follow instructions. He was impressive when he brought his tools into the apprenticeship program, because a lot of the apprenticeship program, we do a lot of hands-on, and they are responsible for their own tools. And for a tradesperson, the tools is everything. You can really evaluate the quality of a worker by the way they keep their tools. He opened up this tool box, and it was impeccable. Every tool was absolutely clean. It was sharpened. It was ready for performance. He had a tool pouch that was very different, where he rolled up his tools in this pouch, and in the pouch had a particular spot for every single tool. He opened it up, laid it on the table, and everyone just looked in amazement of the way this gentleman kept his tools. And it really knocked it out of the park of everybody realizing, including myself, the valuable commodity we have and our potential of getting our service people the ability to have employment when they come out of the service. Like I said, I can teach the hard skills. It's real hard to be able to teach the soft skills and the work ethics. And many of our people that are coming home from serving this country have these soft skills, and they need they deserve a good, high-paying job with benefits. That story always resonates in my head. This man was in charge of these multi-million-dollar aircraft, and to be able to be using in construction, that was a no-brainer. And today. He's one of our. He's been a journeyman now for many years. I do believe he's an officer of the local, and his leadership skills are shining through. And that's all been after he was general foreman on many jobs. He knew how to handle the workforce. He had the discipline and the structure and the human relations to know how to motivate people. He's definitely an A1 member.
What local are we talking about here, Pete? Where is he?
That was Local 32 in New Jersey, North New Jersey, Local 32.
All right. Do me a favor. Get his contact information to me and the producer of the show, BMA Media, and we'll get him on the show. I want to hear this. I mean, you did a great job. Don't get me wrong. You did a great job, but I want to hear from him, and it would be good to get that story. And it would be a good sell for others listening to the show on how they can transition from the military into the trades. And it's a great story.
Another quick one. We had a gentleman that also was in the military, and we brought him into the program. And then I didn't know too much about it at the time, about the Montgomery GI Bill. And I remember asking him, I said, were you involved in that? Because I thought in his resume he was involved in that. And the Montgomery GI Bill, they take some money. It's a volunteer program in the military, and you sign up for it, and money set aside to be able to do a host of benefits when you come home. And one of them was job training. And he said, yeah. And he gave me some paperwork, and I contacted people from Helmets to Hard Hats, and they said, absolutely. And he was entitled to a salary supplement that came from the GI Bill. And he received a substantial amount of benefits that were able to assist him while he was going through the apprenticeship program. And again, that educated me. And Anytime someone in the military, former service, I would always ask him, did they have any input in the Montgomery GI Bill? Because if you do, and you're in the apprenticeship program, there are funds available to supplement your income.
Lesson to be learned. There's a lot of information out there that people are not aware of. And every day there's something new that pops up that's beneficial to a union member, especially like in this case. That's a great story. Yeah, that GI Bill, it was good when they came out of World War II, and they made it better about a dozen years ago since. So there's yeah. So many good programs out there, so many. All right, once again, I want to drive people to Helmets to Hard Hats. HelmetsToHardHats.org is a website. And Pete's with the Heat and Frost Insulators, LMCT. That's Mechanical Insulators, LMCT.com. And send me that information. We'll get this gentleman on the show, and we could talk more about this. And it's so important. You know, we say, hey, thank you for serving in the military. But you know what? You really want to thank him? Give him a job. Give him an opportunity. A good job with great benefits, great wages, pensions. I could go on and on and on. But I'm going to leave it on that note. Always a good time with you, Pete. You take care. We'll talk to you next month, okay, brother?
All right, thank you. You take care as well.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Mike Dolan, on behalf of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, talking about buying American goods. That's next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
America's workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And, of course, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two right now, and welcome back to the show. I'm talking to this guy, Mike Dolan. He's with the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, one of the many proud sponsors of this show we call America's Workforce. He's also with the Coalition for a Prosperous America, prosperousamerica.org, and we've talked with that group many, many times. Hey, Mike, welcome back. Thanks for joining us today.
Flash, it's great to be back. Good afternoon to you. And by the way, happy Buy America Week to you and to all your listeners.
That's right. Buy America Week. Biden issued an executive order, and this week, starting on Monday, is Buy American Week. And this all ties in, too, because we're trying to get an infrastructure deal going. And obviously, if we're going to improve our roads and bridges, you want to use American-made products. There is a problem here, Mike. I don't know if you know this, but Donald Trump yesterday tried to, I guess he's trying to slow things down. He issued a statement in which he demanded that Republican senators scrap the infrastructure bill that's been actually 3 months in the making. Now, we're talking about the $1.2 trillion bipartisan deal. And although Trump did not note any specific provisions, he claimed the senators were getting savaged in the negotiations because Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and his small group of rhinos. Those are Republicans in name only. Apparently, they're not Republican enough. They want nothing more than to get a deal done at any cost to prove that he can work with radical left Democrats. So I don't know here, Mike. What's your thoughts here? You think that this is going to come to an end?
You know, the guy is irrelevant. He's making political what is clearly a policy preference for the American people. As you know, the polls show overwhelming support for the basic infrastructure that is so long overdue. And certainly we in the labor movement, you know, are four square behind all the efforts from the Biden administration, especially, and from the Congress, the bipartisan discussions to repair the roads and the bridges. Those are good union jobs. You know it, and the American people know that. And this Trump, I mean, we just keep him in the rearview mirror. He's making a political case around something that is clearly a policy priority for the American people and the American labor movement. And I'll give you an anecdote, actually, right now, which really kind of goes to this whole Buy America aspect of infrastructure. I'm in Washington, D.C., right? I with the Teamsters, and I'm up on Capitol Hill as the lobbyist and the trade guy. A couple of years ago, 2019, that administration, Donald Trump, whose USTR was, you know, okay on a bunch of issues generally, but that White House, and I went there in the summer of 2019 to celebrate their Buy America day or week or whatever it was. And so I went to the White House, and all over the White House were all these small companies from all around the country, you know, Zippo lighters and Airstream from Ohio, guitar straps from New Mexico, baseball gloves from Texas. And it was nice. You know, I mean, there they were, and I took some photos, and I met some people, and I was behind enemy lines. I mean, the Trump White House at this point, but it was nice. But my point is this, right? That was decorative. It was political. It was, you know, just nicey nice. But what's happening right now with this administration, with the Biden administration, is a genuine commitment to Buy America. And so the proclamation that Joe Biden put out on Monday to sell it to begin this week, you know, for his administration to maintain the momentum around domestic procurement, around Buy America, that he started on Monday this whole week. And I'm going to get back in a second to the notice of a proposed rulemaking. We got a briefing, some of us in the labor movement, last night from Celeste Drake, the OMB head of the Buy America office. It was excellent. More about that in a second. But the proclamation goes to genuine policy and genuine, actual, substantial, as opposed to the, you know, the frou-frou decorative approach that the Trump White House took. This White House, this Biden administration, Biden-Harris administration, is making the genuine commitment at a policy level that we in the labor movement have been waiting to see, well, ever since the Buy America Act, you know, 90 years ago, you know, in every generation, to make that stronger, to make it work for American workers, not just in manufacturing, but in service sectors, and obviously for the unions that represent those workers. And I'm just going to quote the beginning of the proclamation, because I think you and your listeners, I recommend that you go and you look at the White House press office at the page, you know, and see what Biden is talking about when it comes to Buy America. It's really important and it's really exciting. Made in America recognizes a basic idea. I'm quoting now, Flash. When we spend taxpayer dollars, we should buy American products and support American jobs. The Congress passed the Buy America Act almost 90 years ago, but we have never fully lived up to this principle. And during Made in America Week, we recognized that just as American manufacturing was the arsenal of democracy in World War II, American products and services must be part of the engine of American prosperity today. We also reject the defeatist view that the forces of automation and globalization mean we cannot have good-paying union jobs here in America. I recommend the proclamation, which, as I say, Biden signed on Monday. But more importantly, and this is a really important development as a policy matter, which we celebrate today during Buy America Week. Today, and it's on the White House. I just checked. It's on the White House. It went up this morning, and there'll be a Federal Register notice, and it's going to raise the domestic content rules under the Buy America Act from the current basically just over half, 55%, immediately up to 60%, phasing into 70, phasing into 75% domestic content requirements. And this is substantial. This is actual policy. This isn't the politics of the previous administration. This is actually getting the job done. And I'll say one last thing. The briefing that we got last night, from the White House, from Celeste Drake, and and a lot of your listeners remember Celeste when she was at the AFL-CIO. Let me just say that if personnel is policy, this is one of the best appointments of this administration, because she hit the ground running in April, and the progress that's already being made around these incredibly important Buy America issues is substantial, it's real, and it's worth celebrating during Buy America Week.
The power of the federal government. Boy, when you think, first of all, look how many people work in the federal government, and look at the procurement process, as you indicated, just by them buying America, and hopefully, the private sector will follow. This would be huge. It really would be huge. And the amount of jobs that would be created or brought back from foreign countries like China, like Vietnam. Think about what can happen. This is monumental. This is crazy, Mike. I didn't realize Buy America was 90 years ago. That would take it back to the Great Depression when FDR.
That was president. Very early in our careers. That's right. And to your point, the annual procurement spending is $600 billion. Right?
Oh, my.
Helicopter blades to trucks, office furniture. The federal government is a major buyer of market for goods and services. And the federal government is the single largest purchaser of consumer goods in the world. A lot of people don't recognize this. So the power of the purse and of the procurement policy, in the federal government to, as you suggest, lead the market towards more inshoring and bringing back those jobs and making manufacturing, shortening our supply chains. Flash, the Teamsters, we're like North America's supply chain union, right? We're on the trucks and the UPS, and we're the freight rail trains, and we're at the ports and then the warehouses. This supply chain issues, are so important, so central to the identity of the Teamsters and our patriotism, if you will, as we think about growing the American economy and leaving good paying jobs and good livelihoods to our children. This is central. And that's why we really are very excited about what the Biden administration has done so far this year and what they're especially doing this week. There's some other issues that the Teamsters would like to see the Biden administration take on in this Buy America context. Not everything is covered in the executive order that's coming out today in the Federal Register notice. And we'll be working with the Biden administration. We'll be working with Celeste. We'll be working, in fact, with the Congress, in a two-pronged strategy to make these changes permanent and, progressive and, to help, America's workforce and its unions.
I hear you, brother. Buy America Week. Thank you, Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, making that official this week. Mike, we're out of time. It's always a pleasure. I love hearing all your energy, and let's keep the faith and keep the fight going, okay, brother?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Flash. Great to talk to you again. We'll talk again.
All right. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, Arise Chicago. We'll explain what that's all about. And the Baltimore Washington News Guild. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. And be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.